The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you again this week, and we always appreciate all of you tuning in. Everybody turns in at some point every day, but tuning in, let me get my language correct as we get things kicked off. I want to start by wishing everybody a joyous and celebratory holiday week. It is about as good as it gets. Thanksgiving in this great country that we live in. It's full with family and fellowship and fun and great food and all of the things that come with it. And of course, for us football guys, it is the ultimate week with all the big rivalry games, all of the important matchups that are going to determine the college football playoff. And if you want to keep up with all of that, do not forget to tune in on Saturday morning, 10:30, ABC 3340 in Birmingham and throughout much of Alabama. That particular station stretches to a lot of different areas. So we hope you will get your pregame information on Saturday from us at 10:30. You know what's coming up here in Alabama? The Iron Bowl. Alabama going to Jordan-Hare Stadium to play Auburn. It's always a classic. It's always a great game. Set aside the Auburn's very disappointing result from last Saturday, you can bet that they'll be ready to play, and Alabama has so much on the line. Can't wait for that drama and all the other great games. So happy, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I hope your celebration with friends and family and whoever is involved is going to be the ultimate in great joy and memories made. We need to relish these times because all of our traditions are so special to us, and we certainly want to embrace them as long as we possibly can. So I look at it another Thanksgiving to be thankful for all that we have and all that we are, and celebrate family. That is the most important thing. Nothing comes close to rivaling that particular function of life. Let's start with Thanksgiving because I think it's a good theme. Last year on this show, on this very day, I talked about Thanksgiving and some of the origins and misconceptions and things historically that have not really been taught or emphasized. And I think there's a real parallel to that discussion with what's happening right now in our country as we continue to watch these massive protests, basically supporting a terrorist group that senselessly murdered 1,400 innocent civilians in their homes and at a musical festival, and anyone who just happened to be unfortunate enough to be walking down the street in certain parts of Israel on October 7th. Little girls were raped, babies were incinerated, old people were beheaded. There's footage now starting to come out from these actual acts filmed by these barbarians and these savages who perpetrated one of the greatest crimes against humanity in history. And we actually have people in the streets, a lot of college age and younger people out in the streets chanting and supporting this action and saying first that it's all overblown and it's not even true, even though we have video evidence of the atrocities and a film has actually been put together with compilations of it, a lot from the footage that these people were sending back to their relatives bragging about, look what a glorious thing I'm getting to do. I'm getting to slaughter Jews, and people's family sending back, I'm so proud of you and I wish I was there. And you know, it's inconceivable to think about the horror of those communications and the horror now of people, and especially at these elitist universities throughout the Northeast and the Ivy League, that the student bodies, a lot of organizations made up of allegedly these elite Americans, the best and brightest in the most respected schools, that have been guilty of taking tons of money from international sources and really adjusting their curriculum because they're bought and paid for by the tremendous money pouring into the endowments of Harvard and Yale and MIT from the Chinese nationals and from corrupt dictatorships all around the world. They have kind of adjusted their curriculums and developed this anti-American slant on everything. And the way Thanksgiving ties into what's happening in that area is there have been all through the years of my lifetime and probably the modern era, people in the streets and ranting and raving about the evils of America, the whole woke movement, talking about how America is fundamentally a racist and evil entity when it couldn't be further from the truth. America is the greatest experiment in the history of human civilization to try and prove that a government made possible by representation and free elections is a bad system. It's been constantly assailed and under attack by evil dictators and this really prehistoric notion that some kind of higher power of actually religious origins based on in the Islamic sense, that everyone who is not committed to a life of what they believe is evil and an infidel and needs to be destroyed. And there's no other religion on earth that has that philosophy. And that's what makes this different than all the others. Now, I'm not singling out. I have no Islamophobia. What people believe is what people believe. But when it transcends and gets into acting out on these actions and actually executing, and that's an interesting word, executing executions of people that don't believe as they do, that's where the big difference is. This is not just a peaceful movement. This is a radical movement within that peaceful movement of stressing Muslim ideals and Islamic principles. There is this rabidly dangerous element within that group that we've dealt with for many decades now and seen horrendous atrocities, a lot of them perpetrated against Americans, like 9/11. So the correlation to Thanksgiving is one of the big things about the evils of America is the supposed colonialism and America coming and seizing territory. It's the same thing they're out in the street rallying against in Israel. But the fact of the matter is these people have not ever been educated about the story of what happened with the creation of the Israeli state in 1948. They have no knowledge. If you see any interviews where an independent journalist asks them a specific question about the history of all this conflict, these best and brightest Ivy League students have no freaking idea. They can't tell you anything about what's happening there because they don't know the origins and the backstory and how this came to pass. All they are stressing on, all they are focused upon, is that they have been told that the Israelis have come in and booted the Palestinian people out of their own lands, and this whole free Palestine and all the chanting and everything you're hearing is very consistent with the other hatred of our country by these people that are supposed to be Americans and are supposed to understand the principles we are founded on. Because according to them, America was an evil entity that came in and you know, disrupted the peaceable situation of the indigenous people, which are, to me, hilariously referred to as Indians. The only reason they're tagged as Indians was because Christopher Columbus ill-found voyages to the New World seeking a passageway going to India. When he first came upon the Caribbean, he thought he was in islands bordering the continent of Asia and India. And somehow the indigenous people got tagged falsely because of Columbus's confusion. He dubbed them Indians, and it's stuck to this day. So the indigenous people that also are referred to improperly as, quote, Native Americans, they were not. There was no such thing as Americans when people started landing from Europe and people started occupying territory. And, you know, occupying is an interesting word because this was not an organized country. This was not some kind of invasion where people wanting to resettle here forced others away. They just came and tried to establish settlements of their own because, folks, this was wide open territory. This was not one peaceable kumbaya singing Indian tribe, just like what we have in the Middle East. This was a melting pot of all kinds of different indigenous people that had come from all kinds of interesting places, migrating apparently from Asia through the Pacific passages, and the lot of landmass that's now modern day Alaska allowed enough people to pass through and settle here. But there's really no other explanation of where they might have come from. But all of these were different tribes with different philosophies, different beliefs. There were hundreds of them just basically staking their claim to various areas when all of the European settlers and people from around the world started to come. So this was not an organized situation. And modern day people that protest the evils of America and the elimination of the American Indian, the Native Americans, are not looking at the situation in a proper scope. In fact, Thanksgiving ties in because I told you last year, the first contact with Native Americans that the original pilgrims that landed on Plymouth Rock off the coast of Massachusetts, when the first alleged Thanksgiving in the 1600s occurred, that was a tribe of Indians seeking to align with the newcomers because they were being dominated by a massive tribe of much more size than theirs to almost run them completely out of existence. And even though there were terrible communication issues, because of course no one spoke the language, they finally figured out how to communicate enough. And the message was, we need your help because we're about to be run over by this tribe that's trying to take us out of existence. So this was an area. These were not people that were peaceful and settled in with this great indigenous people society. This was a melting pot of various tribes that were pretty much at war with one another, fighting for space and territory and all of the resources that this new land was providing. It was a big scramble. So really the entrance of the people from other lands, Europe and from Asia and from around the world, were just people seeking the same thing. It was wide open territory. So the misnomer that the Americans somehow came in, formed this country, and completely disrupted and occupied Indian territory is absolutely foolish. Now, were there atrocities and things in that process of manifest destiny? Certainly there were. But once again, it was a situation that is not uncommon around throughout history when civilizations have come and seized territories and, kind of forced people that were there before out. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. That's just, you know, in history will tell you in almost every situation, ancient history, if you look back at all the different great civilizations and all the origins of mankind going all the way back to the Egyptians and Greeks and Romans and all of the Byzantine and the Ottoman empires, all of those particular entities, all at one time or another, forced people out or changed the narrative of the settlements that were already in place. And it's just a it's just unfortunately, if you view it this way, that is not necessarily occupation of someone else's territory. It's just the expansion of these particular societies and civilizations, and that's what happened here. It doesn't make Americans evil that they came seeking a new life and new lands. And in the Middle East, it's really kind of a microcosm of the same discussion. So I think there's a misguided opinion of these people in the streets. And let me just say this, and this might sound crass and overly critical, but we witnessed in the 1960s a huge protest movement from American students on college campuses. It was the epicenter of protesting the Vietnam War. And again, atrocities against the poor Vietnamese people, where the Chinese Communist Party was front and center in perpetrating what happened in Vietnam. And the fact that we got involved at the time was preoccupation with the communist dominance spreading into other regions. And of course, we got involved in that. But remember, in the late 60s, that was the big protest, along, of course, with civil rights and a lot of the other things that were evolving at that time, which were just causes. People took to the streets, and once again, not as educated on really the geopolitical complexities, but focusing solely on this kind of idea of American colonialism, imperialism, and autocracy, because the misguided belief by radicals, even in the late 60s, was the beginning of the teachings that America is evil. America is not a country that was founded on the principles that we all hold dear, that this was just an expansionist bunch of bullies coming in and seizing this land. And that whole obsession of oppressor against the oppressed, in this case, in our country, all the people coming in against the indigenous peoples and all these different conflicts around the world, that always seems to be the root of the great protest and outrage, that this is somehow some kind of, just improper, evil occupation of others' lands. The real truth of the matter is, folks, that area that is now the state of Israel, throughout history has been controlled by every major empire at one time, going all the way back to the ancient Assyrians and the Persian Empire, and of course, then the Egyptian Empire, the ones I just mentioned, the Greeks, the Romans, all had control of this area. The Byzantine Empire, as that rose under the time of Alexander the Great, all the way up until in recent centuries, the Ottoman Empire, which was basically Turkish-based, all have had their time of being, and then the Brits, the English, in the modern era, if you want to start around the 1800s, the British were the kind of ruling empire that oversaw that area. And it was a melting pot of people that lived there, because going all the way back to those ancient times, it was never a country or a territory that was controlled or organized into their own state. It was always controlled by other powerful entities and empires. And that's something that all of these people have no knowledge of whatsoever. This was not the country of Palestine. This was not a situation where you had an established land of these people. This was a melting pot of a lot of people, because if you go all the way back to biblical times, you'll see that there were tons of people there from representing all different faiths. Certainly there's great presence of the Arabics, because that's the area of the world that it is, and the Muslim people. But there also was an equal representation of Hebrew / Jewish individuals, and a large influx of Arabic Christians. So this was kind of a melting pot area always, that never was an organized country. And after World War II, with the persecution and execution of millions of Jews by the Germans and other evil forces in Europe, there was mass exodus trying to return to the homeland where the Jewish state and all of Hebrew history emanated from, which is the modern day country of Israel. Now, the establishment of that was not even done officially by Israelis or Jews themselves. The British government, still holding the empirical rights to that territory, issued the British Mandate in the early 40s, or in the mid 40s after World War II. And that was the doctrine that led to the separation of these countries. But basically, the State of Israel, established in 1948, was and continues to be a mix between the same people that have occupied that area for many years. It is absolutely a completely unreported fact that 40% of the population of Israel is Arabic. They're people that have lived there and have grown up there and have assimilated there. They might have, and they do have, their own faith, of course, still, but they are working, functioning people in the country of Israel. Israel was established because of the British influence after the war and American intervention. The Americans originally had the idea to come in and create two different countries that's been talked about for many, many years, basically splitting the country in half and having one part to be Arabic Palestinian and the other Israeli. The sticking point, though, has always been the holy city of Jerusalem, which in Islamic and in Jewish faith is the holiest place on earth, and even in, of course, the Christian faith. Jerusalem, really the center stage for so much of the history of all of these religious movements, that there never was agreement on what to do with Jerusalem. The Americans even had what I think was a very interesting idea when it became obvious that there was no compromise that was going to be made by any of these parties about the city. The Americans came up with the idea to create territories for each specific group and basically have an international tribunal kind of rule or look over or oversee the activities of Jerusalem and let it be kind of a central gathering location for all these different faiths, under no one's direct control of that group. But it never was satisfactory to the Islamics. The Muslims did not agree with that. The Israelis were willing to sign off with that plan. But the Arab movement, the Muslim Islamic folks, absolutely refused that accommodation, believing that Jerusalem was exclusively their basic center of their faith, and they would not compromise over its control. So that's a little bit of the back history of what we're dealing with here, and it's gone on for years and years and years. In 1967, Israel had to conduct defensive operations when a group of surrounding countries, including Lebanon and Egypt, joined with the displaced Arabic folks who had settled pretty much in other areas of the country in the Six-Day War, which basically was the Egyptians and Lebanese trying to occupy the Gaza Heights, the Golan Heights and Gaza Strip areas, and even parts of Jerusalem. And the Israelis in 6 days drove those invaders away and claimed that territory for themselves, but later acquiesced and declared that if the Palestinian state wanted to occupy those territories, they would pretty much withdraw all Hebrew Jewish presence. And so that was the accommodation was made. The original governing branch of that area, the Gaza Strip and the Golan Heights, the West Bank, was the Palestinian Authority led by Yasser Arafat. And it was an unstable situation for a number of years, about 20 years. But there was some cooperation and not direct military conflict in that era until the late 80s, when Iran basically funded a offshoot of what we know as ISIS, the basically radical Islamic movement, to kill every infidel that doesn't believe in their radical agenda. And that leads to the real irony to this whole situation. People that are rallying in the streets, the same people that are beating the cause for women's rights and abortion rights and gay and trans and all the different causes that are so popular now and creating so much outrage with American youth, if those people tried to go to these countries and have those kind of demonstrations, they would be completely eradicated. Demanding women's rights to this ancient society. Women have no rights. Women are not in Afghanistan. Women were not even being educated. They, the hypocrisy and the irony of people not really understanding who they're supporting, because they are not in the streets. They keep yelling free Palestine and the Palestinians have been abused. But basically, the Palestinians have not been willing to reach a peaceful accommodation since this started in the late 40s. And it's a situation that's really out of control. And you wonder how in the world are American citizens from elite families that have the means to go to these kind of schools can have this kind of ignorance about the geopolitical reasons that we're in this particular state. And the reason is because the Department of Education that was founded in 1979, basically to unionize and create political allies to this kind of radical leftist movement in this country, completely started to get their tentacles on education all around the country and just start to change the narrative on American history. And this is a generation of people that have grown up learning how evil their country is, how guilty that America is of all of these terrible crimes against humanity. And they are unknowingly thinking that, I heard an interview with one guy saying, well, what do you say about the fact that Hamas is still holding several hundred hostages? And he says, well, don't believe everything the government tells you. They have no control over what Israel does, which made no sense. If you notice, too, this is a distressing part of this. If you notice, a lot of times when news media approaches people at these rallies and tries to get a comment and tries to get them to explain why they're out there, you get all of a sudden these people kind of show up out of nowhere to shuffle the regular folks that are out there protesting out of the way. And they jump on camera with all kinds of justification and kind of confusing answers. But they don't want the rank and file people commenting, because these are organized by the same people that were really beating the drum of the Black Lives Movement and Antifa rallies in 2020. These are organized deals, because they're heavily funded and they are not organic in origin. The reason I think that they get so much participation from these college age people that really are not up to date is two reasons. One is because it's fashionable as a young person to get out and chant and repeat. A speaker will yell something and the whole crowd will yell it back. It's a, and this is a terrible word, but It's a cool thing to do. If you're out there protesting something, even if you don't know about it, and you're involved in a cause and you feel like your voice is being heard, even if it's ill-fated in origin, it's just an invigorating group activity. And throughout history, you can see parts of this being true. But the other more nefarious part, and I'll get to the end of this now, but the other more nefarious part is the fact that so much of the information that these young people are getting does not come from the traditional education system where we've revised history to make America evil, but it's coming from sources like TikTok and also Hamas themselves, a terrorist organization that is in control of the Palestinian territory right now and has been since 1987. They have had a sophisticated social media program with Instagram and bombarding all kinds of social media that has permeated to this generation of kids that have learned that, these people have been oppressed and Israel is evil. The Jewish people are the most history's most persecuted victims of all time. And to suggest that they now are the oppressors instead of the oppressed is absolutely comical. It's just ignored the fact that 6 million Jews were put to death just as recently as the 1940s during World War II for nothing more than being Jewish. They are the most oppressed people. Go all the way back to the Egyptian Empire. Moses, let my people go. That was the liberation of Hebrews as slaves in the Egyptian Empire. So the most persecuted people in the history of the world are now the most evil people in the eyes of these kids because they have been bombarded with all this propaganda and false images of something that doesn't even exist. And the Chinese Communist Party and their brilliant product that they have somehow been able to put over on our country, TikTok, which, you know, people that I know that are very, grounded American citizens go, well, I saw on TikTok the other day. I've never looked at TikTok. I won't look at TikTok. Last week, they published the open letter to Americans in the English version from Osama bin Laden written in 2002, which justified the attacks on New York and the Pentagon and the deaths of 3,000 innocent Americans, not just Americans of the Christian faith, but of every kind of faith. Christians, Jews, Arabics, the victims were just randomly selected because they don't care. To make their point, they don't care who they destroy. They don't care what families they ruin. It's to make the point that their ancient philosophy is what everyone should believe. And if you don't believe it, you're not worthy of living. And how people can't consider that before getting in the streets and actually supporting this horrible, horrible act on October 7th, where these people murdered men, women, children, raped little girls, tortured old people. It's unimaginable that they can justify that and even deny that it happened when you've got graphic evidence, as we talked about on the front end. So just some food for thought on this Thanksgiving Day. Appreciate your country. Appreciate all of the good things we do for people all over the world. And I hope that somebody will have the chance, everybody will have the chance to try and tell people the real story of what's going on here. Our young people's minds and hearts have been hijacked, and it is a very distressing thought to think these are going to be the leaders going forward. The education system needs to be dramatically reformed. This insidious movement needs to end, and the real story needs to be told. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Didn't mean to make this a negative tone, but it was definitely things that you need to know. God bless you and your families. Have a joyous holiday, and we will see you next week right here on the TKR Radio Network with Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.